past 7 after the hour. Doug Steffens' Good Day program from the United Nations. This is the annual Talk Radio Day. Those of you who have been listening with any degree of regularity over the years, maybe you remember some of the highlights other than the discussions of what's going on in Richie's life and Jennifer's life and Roberta's life, things on the farm, et cetera, et cetera. This is one of the things that I find to be of most value because I believe what goes on here is necessary. I think there are a lot of things that happen here that are unnecessary, and as a result of that, they become very controversial, but it doesn't take away from...
Even if you disagree with the things that go on there, why not go and learn about it?
Right, exactly.
Inform yourself.
Well, I think that's it. Information, it's much better to have a brain, and attached to that brain is information rather than speculation, and so that's why we do this. You're certainly going to get advocacy from the people who are involved. But that's the case no matter what. We're always going to be listening to those who are advocates of positions that we either agree or disagree with. Speaking of that, before we get back to our focus here, Citigroup says that there is a huge data breach. So I'm just thinking, Richie and I and Jennifer were talking about this during the news at the top of the hour. Hundreds of thousands of bank card customers, of which I am one. I don't know whether I've been affected or not. How would you find out? Probably would be, you find out, yeah.
If you have no money in your account, that might be a good sign.
Yeah,
right, well, I don't have money.
They'll send you a letter, usually.
Yeah, I just have a credit card. I don't have anything there. But our poll today, back to my worry, and Richie tells me that I'm not with it, but I think I am with it, and this is a perfect example of it. Do you bank online? A, of course, doesn't everybody? No. B, I used to until I got hacked. C, no, and I don't intend to. You see what it's to happen to Citigroup. So it's too tenuous, frankly, for
me. Your chances of being defrauded.
Yeah, in this case, hundreds of thousands of bank card customers have had the data breach. So what do you do? What do you think?
Yeah, and how many of those hundreds of thousands will actually have anything happen to their account? You have a much greater chance of one of your neighbors, friends, relatives, employees on the farm finding an old bank statement in your trash can or stealing something out of your mailbox and defrauding you than you do of this.
Fortunately, I know the people that I hire. But, yeah, I suppose.
It doesn't matter.
There's fraud everywhere.
There's fraud everywhere.
Everybody's a crook.
Yep, pretty much.
Except for you and me. All right, in a moment we meet Maher Nasser, who is a United Nations veteran. Want to focus on Jerusalem, Palestinian state. You hear all of the discussion about whether or not there's actually a plan here at the UN to try to get Palestinian recognition, plan to seek recognition on the part of the Palestinians. In other words, they want to become an independent state. A lot of hoopla around that. We'll talk about it in a minute as we continue with UN Day. It's 9 after the hour on Good Day.
Amdro Ant Block presents The Household Ant Requiem. If ants invading your home have you shrieking an unpleasant tune, sprinkle Amdro Ant Block around the perimeter of your home to block ants from entering. Ant Block creates a fortress that kills problem ants on the outside so they can't come inside. And that's music to a homeowner's ears. Look for Ant Block and the entire line of Amdro Kills Ants products at Amdro.com.
Could switching to Geico really save you 15% or more on car insurance? Can you find anything on the internet? Well, I'm sure you can, but don't take my word for it. Just ask this talking dog who can only say, I love you. Roll the clip. One more time, talking dog.
For a free rate quote, visit Geico.com to see how much you could save. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Lori Morris doesn't go out without Bullfrog Mosquito Coast.
My son and I are mosquito magnets. And if I'm not wearing the Mosquito Coast sunscreen, I am immediately eaten alive. And so is he. I saw the Mosquito Coast covered both sun protection and insect repellent. We don't get sunburn when we use the Bullfrog, and we don't get bit.
Bullfrog Mosquito Coast. DEET-free 8-hour repellent, SPF 30. No wonder it's the number one burn and bite protection. Use as directed.
Now at Exxon and Mobil locations, you can save 15 cents per gallon for 60 days when you use your SpeedPass device for fuel purchases at participating locations. Just register your SpeedPass device at speedpass.com by June 30th, 2011 to start saving. That's right, save 15 cents per gallon when you use your SpeedPass device. Visit speedpass.com today. Excludes business and fleet card accounts. Purchases in Louisiana and New Jersey do not qualify. Rebates will be posted to the credit or check card that is linked to SpeedPass. Maximum gallons eligible for rebate is 100 per account. Offer may not be combined with any other SpeedPass offers. Allow a minimum of 90 days to receive rebates.
Guys, remember when you were 18 with boundless energy and the stamina to do anything, anytime? Wish you could have the testosterone of your teenage years with the experience and skill you have today? Now you can with Progene Daily Complex. Progene is an all-natural herbal supplement that helps men naturally produce more testosterone. Right now, you too can try a free month's Progene supply absolutely free. 800-690-9738. Supplies are limited. 800-690-9738. 800-690-9738. Shipping and processing fees apply.
Are you suffering from back arthritis or muscle pain? Here's something that can help. Salon Paz Pain Relief Patch, a clinically proven pain-fighting patch. Salon Paz has two powerful medicines that go to work right at the site of your pain for up to 12 hours of relief. As a special offer to Good Day listeners, you can get your free sample of Salon Paz by going to drkenshow.com and clicking on the Salon Paz button. Or if you're looking for relief right now, stop by your local Walgreens store and pick up a 5-count box. Stop the pain right at the site with Salon Paz. Order a free sample today. Go to drkenshow.com. Salon Paz. Please use as directed.
Or you can go to DougStefan.com for Salon Paws Patch as well. We've all done that. Very helpful. It's 12 past the hour. Doug Steffen's Good Day program, live from the United Nations. It's Talk Radio Day at the UN. We actually have come to the UN Foundation building, which is across the street from the UN, because there are two things going on at the UN. One of them is the rebuild, which continues, and the other one is there's a big conference on AIDS, which basically has taken up all available space, and so that is a focus, but ongoing, there are lots of things that are going on in the world that require the attention of the United Nations. Some people think this is good work. Some people don't. Some people resent the United States paying as much of the bill as we do, but it doesn't hurt to know what's going on, and that's really the spirit in which I'm here. 800-510-8255. If you had a word to describe the United Nations, what would that word be? One word for you. Joining us now is Maher Nasser, who has been working at the United Nations for 23 years, various capacities, mostly in the Middle East. Where are you from originally?
I'm Palestinian.
You are. Okay. So what does it mean? There's a lot of controversy. I was reading something this past weekend, as a matter of fact, aimed at trying to help people identify or understand what a Palestinian is, because apparently there weren't any Palestinians before the Jewish state emerged. There are people who would decide... There is, you know, they came from someplace, but we're, what does it mean to be a Palestinian? I think that's something that a lot of people, now there's just an assumption, okay, Palestinians are these people over here, and they don't seem to like the Jews and the Israelis. So how do, as a starting point, where do we go from there?
I think if you look in the United, we have actually publications that trace the UN's history with the Palestinian problem. And in my case, my family has been living in what is now, well, you might call it Israel and parts of the West Bank for hundreds of years. Mm-hmm. And the Palestinian people are the people basically who have been living continuously in that land.
So what's the difference between a Palestinian and an Arab, or an Arab and a Palestinian? Are all Palestinians Arabs?
Yes.
They are. But all Arabs do not seem to be supportive of the Palestinian state or the idea of a Palestinian state.
I don't think that's the case, mm-hmm. actually. A lot of the... Now, not only the Arab countries, but even in the UN, and what everybody says is the way to peace in the Middle East is having two states side by side, one state for the Palestinians in the West Bank and Gaza.
So why can't we have that?
Well, this is what the efforts for peace are about. The UN has a special...
Yeah, but why can't we just one day say, okay, we all agree there's going to be two states, and the intelligent people say, yeah, we're going to have that, and the fighting stops. Why can't that happen?
There's always an objective, but there's always the way to lead to that objective that is sometimes faced with difficulties. The two parties have to agree on the parameters. The two sides have to sit together and agree on the negotiations.
But it goes on and 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 on. It doesn't stop. It's just the same stuff going on forever. And I would think it would be frustrating as somebody who's a Palestinian to...
I would not really agree with that characterization, because if you talk about 30 years ago...
Mm-hmm.
There was no definitely consensus that the two states was a solution. Over the past 3 or 4 years, even with the development lately in the peace process, there is now even on the Israeli side an agreement, and even the prime minister spoke about a Palestinian state.
And I was in Egypt for a conference, I don't remember how many years ago, and I met Sadat.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked into his eyes, and I'd never, ever, I've described this on the radio before, I've never seen eyes. His, did you ever meet the guy? Did you ever meet Sadat?
I was Sadat, no.
Yeah, okay. Anybody who ever met him, I wonder if I would love to find people who have met him and looked into his eyes. The most amazing thing about that man, and one wonders as you look back on it, and the frustrating thing about Palestine is a lot of people don't know, and that's why I'm asking these questions.
Mm-hmm.
Where do guys like Sadat come from? How do they get their power? How do they get their influence? How did he pull off whatever it was he was doing?
I think what he did at the time was also, again, there were many disagreements and within Egypt and within the Arab world. If you recall, when he embarked on the peace process with Israel, Egypt was boycotted by many of the Arab countries because they thought it went beyond the parameters that the Arab League had agreed to. Subsequently, all Arab countries have followed suit and negotiations started in the Madrid Peace Conference in 1991, which is continuing what is called the current peace process. Mm-hmm. And I think we have come a long way since then. But what the difficulties are on the ground, and I think the efforts of the United Nations, member states, the quartet, the U.S., EU, Russia, and of course the United Nations, have identified a few years ago already a roadmap for the peace.
But the Palestinian state that is suggested now, the leadership in Palestine seems to be divided over this plan to seek some kind of UN recognition. What's that about? Why is there a division? There's divisions in it. I mean, the world is full of divisiveness.
Mm-hmm.
There's division
mm-hmm.
on this. It's all about ego and control and power. It has nothing to do with the average Palestinian gets along great with the average Jew. I mean, that's the average person that you see and have always seen, the Arabs, and this is why I asked you what I did before, the difference between a Palestinian and an Arab, or how they meter their existence. The Christians, the Jews, and the Arabs have been living together for millennia.
Mm-hmm.
Not for, like, hundreds of years, for thousands of years. So why the heck can't the bigger picture have the same reflection as the smaller picture?
Well, if you look at different countries, politicians always have different opinions. And you will have politicians in any country, even in the same party, have different.
But the average person in Palestine doesn't want to fight with the average person in Israel. Right?
At some times, yes. At some times, no. I think there have been periods.
What are they fighting about?
I think this is the question. It's not about what they're fighting about. Is how to, I mean, for in the UN, what we want to do is actually to find a way that each side gets what
they want.
They need.
Now,
not
what they need.
What they
okay,
want.
All right.
Because
that's good. That's an interesting, yeah.
There's a difference between what
you
want. A lot of people want something, but their need is something else.
Yeah.
And I think when you want to talk about negotiations, you want both sides to come out happy, and mm-hmm. sometimes there will be a compromise. I mean, at the moment, the Palestinian leadership on both sides, in Gaza and the West Bank, have now agreed that what they want and what the majority of Palestinians want is a two-state solution, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what the UN and other partners...
So the Israelis have to start building on the West Bank.
The UN position is very clear on the settlements. The settlements mm-hmm. are illegal under international law.
What did you think when President Obama said... It was misquoted, but it made for great conversation, that Israel should go back to the pre-67 border.
Well, the pre-67 border is actually, these are the parameters of the peace process.
Mm-hmm.
If you go back to Madrid, which is 1991, the first Middle East peace conference, the parameters were Security Council Resolution 242, which spoke about the inadmissibility of acquisition of land by force.
All right. Do you mind staying around for a couple more minutes?
Sure.
Yeah, all right. Mm-hmm. Maher Nasser is here. He's a Palestinian, works at the United Nations, focus on Palestinian recognition at the United Nations. 21 after the hour on Good Day.
We all know that Berkey water purification systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey water filtration systems. The Berkey light systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey light system today, complete with two Black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
You've heard a lot lately about zeolite, but what is it and why do you need it? Zeolite is a beautiful, complex, crystalline structure that encapsulates radiation and odors. ZeoKing Zeolite naturally eliminates radiation poisoning your body may pick up from x-rays, security scanners, or nuclear fallout. ZeoKing flushes environmental toxins absorbed from smoke, cell phones, and chemicals, so it detoxifies heavy metals including mercury, lead, and cadmium. ZeoKing Zeolite helps boost your immune system, allowing your body to balance itself and cut off food supply to cancer and parasites. Order your ZeoKing Zeolite now from ZeoKing.com for only $39.99 and receive a free month supply with every order. Call 888-402-6779. That's 888-402-6779. Or visit ZeoKing.com. That's ZeoKing.com for natural elimination of radiation poisoning.
We're at 23 and change past the hour. Doug Steffens' Good Day program. Talk Radio Day at the United Nations. Focused on a lot of the things that the UN is involved in. It's a good educational tool. Every once in a while, we have to put our thinking caps on, Jennifer, and get to the root of problems and talk about stuff that is part of the everyday conversation, although it's not as maybe as sexy as talking about Alec Baldwin running for the mayor of New York. You can check that story out at DougSteffen.com, plus the Citigroup fiasco with all of the credit card customers that have been hacked. Meanwhile, our conversation with Maher Nasser, we're talking about the Palestinian state. He's a Palestinian, and I don't want it to come across as me being the inquisitor, but I was intrigued. You and I were just talking about this off the air, where the idea came from of the Palestinian state, or the suggestion in the book that you were talking about that lays at the feet of everybody the illegitimacy of the claim that there ought to be a Palestinian state. Who are the Palestinians? Are they Syrians? Are they Lebanese? Are they Egyptian? Are they... who are they?
They are the descendants of all the people who lived in that land throughout history.
Right.
And historically, they may be... many of them are Arab, many of them are Jews, probably, who converted to Islam or Christianity or even maintain Jewish.
Yeah.
Some of them are descendants of Crusaders. If you go to Palestine historically before 1948, you will find a diversity of people who look pale, who look European, who look
right.
Middle Eastern, who look everything. And these people have been living there, and this is how they define themselves. They define themselves as Palestinians.
That's a fascinating reality. Every time, I've not been to Palestine, but I've been to Israel a couple of times, and I want to go, but I think probably, fear may not be the right word, but it didn't seem like an intelligent thing for me to go over there at the time, because both times I was in Israel, there were hot spots, and it was uncomfortable. And I said, I want to go over there. And the people that were with me said, no, you don't want to go over there. I said, yeah, I do want to go. No, you don't want to go over there. So, we have this the yin and the yang of it. You're a light-skinned guy, European, you look like. And a lot of people in the Middle East, that's the silly thing about, and I'm speaking to Americans now, but we're on the Internet around the world at DougSteffen.com. So a lot of people listening in various parts of the world who think, if they haven't been there, Middle Easterners are all dark-skinned, have big noses, and they are, they sort of look the part, and yet you don't. From that silly description, you don't seem to fit, but yet most of the people I've seen in the Middle East have been fair-skinned people who are dressed in what is considered, I guess, Western garb, So we have these stereotypes. That must be a difficult thing when you're working through a lot of these problems, to get through the stereotypical thoughts of some people that don't really know what's going on.
I think everybody agrees about stereotypes and how damaging and wrong they are, because they're based on preconceived ideas. But a group of, Americans, how long have they been living here? But they all define
from everywhere.
From everywhere?
Yeah.
They come from everywhere, and you immigrate.
So why can't you have
American?
That same thinking in any part of the world?
In any part of the world. Yeah. This is how you define yourself, and people, who do they define themselves? And I think we should look at the future and not at the past.
Right.
The future is that for people need to live in peace, and for peace to prevail, I think the international community, the UN and others, have identified the course, which leaders have agreed is the way forward, two states for two peoples.
Okay, so why would there be division among the Palestinians themselves as to whether or not to get UN recognition? Why wouldn't everybody think that was a good idea? It would give you that much more validity, right, on the path to claiming the rights that you say exist.
I'm not here to speak for the Palestinians.
No, I understand that. No,
I think if you look at the media coverage of that item itself, it speaks about the different views. They both want the same thing, a Palestinian state, but some think that pursuing recognition at the UN without actually having an agreement with the Israeli side is counterproductive. The other view is that no, let's get the UN to approve a Palestinian state, and then we negotiate from that position of having attained the state recognition.
Is the problem in part that a lot of outsiders think the Palestinians are all one? We all tend to think as others, all Americans are the same, all Israelis are the same, all French are the same.
Nope.
No, why would you think that? This is a foolishness. But the root of the problem was with the Europeans who came into the Middle East and into Africa and divvied things up, the conquests, the outreach, if you will, whatever you want to call it, and that's what screwed up everything.
I mean, the history of colonialism, basically, and what it did worldwide is the cause of today's problems. If you look at the United Nations, when it was created in 1945, had 51 member states.
Yeah.
Today, it has 192.
92, yeah.
Where did these come from?
Right.
They didn't come out of eggs.
No, but it speaks to what most people don't know, because we're not being taught this well in school, how the colonialists really did. The British and the French, they should be paying the bill for this, because it's their fault that we have these problems, for the most part.
But today, people's learning is not just necessarily from school. In today's world, you can go to the internet, you can find information anywhere you want. And I think there is history that, of course, history is always seen differently. But one can try to read both sides and see which is more convincing.
Thank you. Very, very helpful, very instructive. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Maher Nasser talking about the realities of at least his side of the world, of Palestinian realities there. Very frustrating, but yet you got to think that they can all be fixed or be solved, these problems. 9:30 on Good Day from the UN in New York.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Did you know that billions are spent every year just for a simple drink of water? But it's the quality of the water that Americans are concerned with, especially after floods, hurricanes, earthquakes, and other disasters that routinely disrupt and contaminate water supplies. Safe drinking water is too important to leave to chance. That's why you need an AquaRain water filtration system. The American-made AquaRain is an essential survival tool that operates for just pennies per gallon. It lets you retrieve water from lakes, ponds, streams, or rooftops during any disaster and assures you of healthy drinking water. The stainless steel AquaRain's patented space-age ceramic and GAC technology uses microfiltration and gravity to purify water. No chemicals, no electricity, no water pressure needed. And AquaRain's cartridges last for thousands of gallons. AquaRain is hands down the best water filter on the market. Call 800-572-2051 or go to aquarain.com. That's 800-572-2051 or aquarain.com. Every family needs an AquaRain.
Food prices are spiraling out of control. In order to survive, you will soon need to produce some or all of your own food in your backyard or small farm. Many years ago, sought-after radio guest Marjorie Wildcraft and her family began working to find the easiest ways to grow food for the crisis we are now facing. Marjorie created a video that is the fastest way to learn how to grow food. You'll learn the most efficient gardening methods, myths and truths of orchards and edible landscaping, effective predator protection, and even home butchering. Everyone is talking about Marjorie's DVD, and it's highly recommended by Jim Rawls, Jack Spurko, and Bountiful Gardens. Read her free reports on how to have a green thumb, making free fertilizer, and answers the question, do you need a gun to garden? If you want the security, savings, and freedom of food self-reliance, buy Marjorie's DVD and get the free reports at backyardfoodproduction.com. Again, that's backyardfoodproduction.com. You know that drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining high energy and vibrant health, and most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops, available only at AlkaVision.com, combine a unique formula of most alkaline minerals available. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops alkalize your water, ridding the body of harmful toxins and acid, helping you to regain your energy and health. Alkalizing your water by simply adding 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps the body to rid itself of acidic waste, increases oxygen, and raises the pH of your body to optimal levels. And bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com.
It's now 33 after the hour. Doug Steffen in the Good Day program from the United Nations headquarters in New York. Sort of an annual festival of talk radio people, so I will not be the only person that you hear from New York today. There will be a number of people on a number of programs, local and national folks who are here to address the issue is the United Nations and what it does. We're actually at the headquarters of the United Nations Foundation. UNICEF is an important part of what goes on here. There are all kinds of things under the umbrella of the United Nations that get handled, and I use that in a term in a loving way. We have John Ennis with us in a few minutes, who has an interesting background. But what I like about this opportunity, Richie, is it gives us a chance to look at and talk about things that are covered in a superficial way. You hear the headlines. Okay, this is what's going on in Libya.
Yeah.
Headline, this is what's going on in Syria.
Yeah.
Headline, this is what's going on in Africa.
Yeah, everybody gets their sound bites in their headlines nowadays, but they don't really know the full. They don't know past paragraph one.
Right, exactly.
And the landscape, I think, we don't understand very much, too.
How do you mean,
Jenna? It's kind of cool to hear about that. I don't think we, you know, we can make judgments real quick based on those real quick hits in the news, but we don't really know what it's like for the people that are living there. So I think it's kind of a neat way to, this is a good way for us to kind of suck in the atmosphere a little bit of those places.
Yeah, I think that's it.
Does
the
that
culture.
Make sense? Yeah.
Yeah, no, it does. Yeah.
The culture. There you go. Yeah, I like the atmosphere better, but whatever.
Yeah. Well, there is a unique. I have found this to be the case whenever I have gone on trips that have brought me to different areas of the world. It's always been that the people that we would be associated with are often what they call NGOs, non-government organizations, because whatever aid we give has to be dispensed or dispersed, if you will, through these non-governmental organizations. And I find some of the people running, again, it's sort of the culture of the UN. Once you get into this culture, you seem to stay in the culture. No matter what your country of origin, you become not, the gentleman who's just here was born in Palestine. But he's a United Nation-er, if there's such a word.
Yeah.
I think that's it's fascinating to see how it works. And maybe that's the case with government in general. A lot of times people get into government in our country and they stay there. varying degrees. All right, so in a moment we'll meet this gentleman, Mr. Ennis, and we'll find out from his perspective. There are a lot of peacekeeping operations going on, and he's been involved in them, so we'll talk about that to a point, and other things that are of interest and importance. And one of the things that's of interest and importance is how your face is looking. How's your face? How are your eyes? Lumitone.
I feel like pretty good. I've been using Lumitone.
Have you?
Right. Yeah, my bags are way down.
Nourishing, moisturizing eye cream that is free. That's basically the bottom line. You get started, you hear us talk about how great this is, how it makes your eyes look years younger, but you can't tell until you try it. And the folks who are making it say, you can try it on us. All you have to do is pay a shipping and handling fee, a couple of bucks, that's it. And you get this wonderful, this, by the way, men and women are using this anti-aging eye cream to straighten out the problem that so many people have who don't get enough rest as much as anything else, or just the vagaries of age and their impact, the vagaries, plural, impact on your eyes. So call 800-894-3302. That's 800-894-3302. Order your jar, your free jar, of Lumitone, and see what it does for the circles and the bags and stuff under your eye. Or maybe you want to try it under both of your eyes. That sounds like
you look kind of funny if you just did it under one eye.
I think So get the free jar, and then you'll be, I'm sure, you'll sign up, you'll be on board, it'll work. You take it with you every day, you know, three or four times a day. You can use it to treat these problems that people have with puffiness and bags and redness, et cetera, et cetera. 800-894-3302 for your free jar of Lumitone. 800. People here free, they don't even know what it is. They just know, okay, free, I'm calling. 800-894-3302.
Are you suffering from back arthritis or muscle pain? Here's something that can help. Salon Paz Pain Relief Patch, a clinically proven pain-fighting patch. Salon Paz has two powerful medicines that go to work right at the site of your pain for up to 12 hours of relief. As a special offer to Good Day listeners, you can get your free sample of Salon Paz by going to drkenshow.com and clicking on the Salon Paz button. Or if you're looking for relief right now, stop by your local Walgreens store and pick up a 5-count box. Stop the pain right at the site with Salon Paz. Order a free sample today. Go to drkenshow.com. Salon Paz. Please use as directed.
This is Troy Aikman.
And Hulk Hogan with another worry-free shopping tip.
You know, getting the brands you want doesn't have to mean worrying about a big credit card bill.
Man, I hate worrying. Gives me the hives.
Yeah. Anyways, at Rent-A-Center, you don't even need a credit card. And if you ever need to bring it back and stop paying, well, you can. So you never have to worry.
Hey, the hives are going away, brother.
Right now at Rent-A-Center, rent-to-own 50-inch LG plasmas for a special price, worry-free. See rentacenter.com for complete details and more information on the worry-free guarantee.
Hi, I'm Danny Lifford. If you're thinking about creating the perfect outdoor paradise for your family, here's a few things to consider. First of all, accessibility. Make it easy for the family to enjoy that outdoor space by installing some really nice doors in certain areas that will allow very easy access. I like to use Geldwin doors because with the clad aluminum they have on the outside, very maintenance-free, nice wood on the inside, great way to go. Speaking of maintenance-free, Fiberon decking, composite decking, a great way to go in having a floor that looks great, but you don't have to do a whole lot of repairs or any type of staining on it from year to year, just a little bit of cleaning. And then to control the climate a little bit, Phantom motorized recessed screens allow you to block out the sun and block out the bugs, and that's what you need in order to get the most out of your outdoor living space. For more information, go to DannyLipford.com.
If your goal is to lose weight in 2011, then look no further. Our resident doctor, Ken Kronhaus, recommends MetaFast, and so have over 20,000 doctors since 1980.
I recommend MetaFast to my patients because it's fast, safe, and satisfying. The MetaFast meals are scientifically formulated to keep you full and satisfied, and with over 70 meals to choose from, you will never feel hungry. Lose up to 20 pounds the first month. Some of my patients have lost up to 60 pounds.
Here's how to save $50. Log on right now to MetaFastKen.com. That's MetaFastKen.com. Or call 800-506-4115 and use the code Dr. Ken to save $50. Call right now. Results will vary. Consult your physician before beginning a weight loss program. Call or go online for a complete program and discount details. MetaFastKen.com or call 800-506-4115.
Amdro Amplock presents The Household Ant Requiem.
If ants invading your home have you shrieking an unpleasant tune, sprinkle Amdro Ant Block around the perimeter of your home to block ants from entering. Ant Block creates a fortress that kills problem ants on the outside so they can't come inside. And that's music to a homeowner's ears. Look for Ant Block and the entire line of Amdro Kills Ants products at Amdro.com.
19 before the hour. Doug Steffens' Good Day program from Talk Radio Row, if you will, at the United Nations. Actually, we're in the building where the UN Foundation, United Nations Foundation, is located, because there are a lot of things, including the rebuild of the building. We all know this sort of statuesque building on the banks of the East River in New York, and it's an iconic building. It really is, certainly since World War II, and it had not been rehabbed, so they're ripping it apart and rebuilding it, and that's a two-year process, I guess. Plus, there's a big AIDS conference going on, so this became a good facility, and it's because learning a lot of things about what goes on in this particular in this line of work, which is all connected to the UN. John Ennis joined the UN, but you have a government background. You're a congressional staffer from the Bronx, so you've been able to move up and into areas that, I suppose, the political connections and know-how are helpful in working in a place like the UN.
Yes and no.
I
didn't have any political net connections in terms of was starting to work for the UN. And actually, I grew up in the Bronx,
mm-hmm.
but I was a congressional aide in Queens.
Really?
Yeah.
Who'd you work for?
Geraldine Ferraro.
Really?
Yeah.
She was supposed to be something special.
She was.
You liked her?
Well, I certainly agreed with her politics.
Yeah.
You know. And,
so what do you think about Wiener and all of that hoopla?
You know, the funny thing is that's the exact same congressional district.
Yeah, no, it is.
So
that's right. Yeah, right. Yeah.
It's, I think it's unfortunate for him. It's, to be in this predicament.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know if anyone would want to be.
Why would you want to be? But yet, he's solely responsible for it. Becomes a what are you thinking kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Much as anything else. That's not why we're here to talk. We're talking, actually, you've had a lot of, you when you came to work for the UN, you've been involved in the peacekeeping aspects of things. Disarmament is now your kettle of fish. And that's so broad. You think about how silly this really is. I'm not suggesting your work is silly, but I'm thinking, where's the common sense? We build up these massive, the United States and Russia and whoever else, all of these tools of destruction. And then, somebody wakes up one day and says, oh, man, this isn't good. We got to do something about this. We got to take these and dismantle them and bury them or do whatever or make sure that the bad guys don't get a hold of them. Is that basically your job, keep the bad guys from getting a hold of the weapons of war?
Well, I wouldn't say that that's our job in particular, but we, I work for the UN Secretariat,
right.
And the UN is an organization of sovereign states. So there are 192 governments that belong to the United Nations,
mm-hmm.
and our job is to support them in the decisions that they take, either in the General Assembly, the resolutions that they pass, and also on certain Security Council resolutions that are related to disarmament. So, for example, back in 2004, there was a Security Council resolution called 1540, which had a disarmament component to it, which was to prevent what they call non-states actors, which is basically a euphemism for terrorists, but non-states actors from acquiring, weapons of mass destruction.
So then how do you apply that to Iran, let's say, or North Korea, or they're the haves, United States, Russia, China, England, whoever, France. So they're the haves, and then these other guys want to become haves, but we don't want to become haves. And we justify it by saying, you're not civil, you're not You're illegitimate. Whatever it is that we look at these rogue, these nut birds like Ahmadinejad, and try to figure out, how do we keep him from having what he apparently already has, right? Isn't that? That's sort of a simplistic way of boiling it down, but that's kind of it, isn't it?
Well, no, not exactly. Basically, what the very first UN resolution that was passed was on effectively doing away with nuclear weapons, after what happened at the end of World War II,
yeah,
when Hiroshima and Nagasaki were, effectively
bombed
out of existence.
Right.
This was the very first resolution, and it applies to, all the member states, including, those who are the declared nuclear powers: the United States, the Russian Federation, China, the United Kingdom, and France. And basically, the agreements that the resolutions that have been passed in the United Nations General Assembly say that there should be complete and general disarmament under effective international control, but that applies to everyone.
Yeah.
I mean, basically, it means that the countries that actually have, let's say, nuclear weapons, they need to, and I think in many respects they've been showing this. You could say, if you look at the height of the Cold War, there were 70,000 deployed nuclear weapons.
Right.
So now, the 70,000 nuclear weapons, I don't know if all of them were deployed.
The military-industrial complex had their way, made their money. Now we'll take all of that money and might as well flush it down the toilet, in essence, because 70,000, how many times can you blow up the world? I think if you had 70 of these, you could destroy the world, right? The right size.
That's, a very sensical, it's very common sense understanding. You have this sort of redundant capacity over and over.
How many times can you kill a person? If one bullet does it, you're going to shoot him 17 times.
Yeah.
Make sure the job gets done.
So, but if you look
but
at...
Let me underscore this so the people listening understand. There are 70,000.
No, there used to be.
All right, but there were at one point. That's 70, the absurdity of that. That's sort of what I'm underscoring.
Well, now there's 23,000. I mean, according
still absurd.
And of that 23,000, there are basically what they consider to be 8,000 that are operational.
Absurd.
And of the 8,000 operational, most of those are, in the United States and the Russian Federation. And then the United Kingdom, China, and France have smaller numbers.
Absurd.
And then there are those countries that have basically acquired nuclear weapons that we know about. So that's India and Pakistan. Also the DPRK
acquired them.
They
built them.
Well, they built them. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, how they acquired them, whether or not there was a transfer of technology. I really don't know. And then there's also, Israel, which is presumed to have nuclear weapons. But the idea that, that there is only, I don't think that in the UN Secretariat, at least, we're the part of the organization that supports all the member states.
Mm.
I mean, we're basically...
So what's the goal?
As I said, it's general and complete disarmament under, effective...
Is that achievable?
Well, it's a process.
You ever wake up in the morning, you love your job, and think, what am I doing?
I mean, you're not going to, let's say, okay, we're going to get to that point on such and such a day, but it takes time. And basically,
you think we're winning? The international community is winning?
Well, as I said, since the Cold War... since the end
numbers
of the Cold War, the numbers have gone down. And
and
let's take a look at other weapons. For example, chemical weapons. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a very effective treaty, basically banning not only, having chemical weapons.
That's great for everybody who signs on to it, but if you don't sign on to it, then what happens?
Well, I think there are, I'm not sure of the exact number, but it's a very large number of states that have actually signed on to it, 180 or so. Mm-hmm. And there are 192 member states in the United Nations, so we're talking about, the vast majority of the UN membership has actually signed on to that. And there's an organization called the Organization for the Prohibition of Chemical Weapons that is responsible for, basically verifying the destruction of stockpiles.
So should Americans sleep better at night knowing that you guys are on the job?
Well... You know, I don't know if I would quite put it that way, but I think what you could say is that there are a lot of organizations. You were talking, I heard before you were talking about non-governmental organizations.
Hold on just a second. We have to break here just a second. 51 past the hour on Good Day.
Big Berkey water filters are in high demand. Storable foods are also in high demand. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has always kept our focus on the Berkey water filter products. But increasingly, our customers have been asking for storable foods. After months of research, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com now offers great-tasting, long-lasting, storable foods. These ready-to-eat meals are packed in airtight nitrogen pouches. All you do is just add water. And because they're sealed so well, they come with a 25-year shelf life. Combine our Berkey water filters, which are powerful enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water with our storable foods, and you have a winning combination. Remember, we offer free shipping on every order over $50, and GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY today.
Will I have garlic breath after I take Ali-C?
We get that question all the time about the world's best garlic extract, Ali-C. And the answer is, Ali-C contains stabilized allicin, nature's antimicrobial agent, and the active ingredient in crushed garlic, but will not give you garlic breath. Scientifically proven in double-blind studies, using low doses of allicin greatly reduces the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Our powerful Ali-C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin. Just one tablet of Ali-C is equivalent to 40 garlic cloves. It's effective against asthma, MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections, and helps lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. Plus, it's a natural mosquito repellent. Boost resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Ali-C. For more information and to order Ali-C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 877-888-7126 or garlichealthproducts.com. Fight back with Ali-C.
It's 53 past the hour. Doug Steffens, Good Day program from the United Nations in New York. We're talking about disarmament around the world, and I am purposely sort of presenting a simplistic overview because it seems to, I think, touch the head of people who are concerned about this. My daughter goes to bed often at night, even as a woman at 37, worrying about whether the world is going to be blown up tomorrow by the likes of...
How can you do that? How can you go through life like that?
Yeah, right. But there are a lot of people...
You have to be aware, alert, educated, and concerned. But, man, you cannot let it run your life.
Well, but that's...
I will not let these people run my life.
But that's what they... But easier said than done. John Ennis is an expert at the United Nations. He's joined the Office of Disarmament Affairs, been there, and is very comfortable... knowledge-wise with what really is going on. And I think that there are a lot of people like my daughter. I mean, it doesn't rule her life, but she wakes up, she read things when she was a kid. When she was a child, the Cold War was still, it was sort of winding down.
But, you know, it scared the bejesus out of kids back in the, you know, the 50s, 60s, and, you know, into the 70s.
Megan is the 70s and 80s.
Well, they were having... Gaddafi was the one for me during the 80s when he would, I mean, that was the big one.
Well, in the 50s and 60s, people were building bomb shelters in their backyard.
Right. Yeah, they had drills, didn't they have drills?
Yeah, we had them in school when I was in the 50s. So, John Ennis, how do we get this out of our, I keep suggesting what your job may be, whether it is or it isn't. I say that with a smile on my face. What do you tell your children? What have you told your children over the years about all of this?
Well, not only, you know, what I tell my children, but I think it's, I mean, first of all, I think it's important to become informed, you know, about the issues. It's, you know, for example, if you take a look at, I think, the lost opportunity costs of, you know, the amount of money that has
resources have been wasted.
Well, you know, every year, and actually, during the Cold War, there was, you know, very significant amounts of resources that were being used to build up the what they call the defense capabilities of, mm-hmm. of states. Mm. And then after the Cold War, that went down, you know, quite a bit. But it's been coming back up again. And now, according to some figures, you know, I mean, I don't really know.
North Korea.
I mean, you know, why governments feel that they need, you know, to have to be spending money on weapons. Most of the money that's spent on weapons is by 10 governments, you know, with the United States.
But then they sell them, or somebody gets a hold of them. You worry about terrorists getting a hold of some of this stuff.
Well, you know, although they sell the weapons, although they sell some of their weapons, some of the weapons that are made, very often it's at a loss. Usually they sell them at subsidized, you know, they're subsidized first.
The governments sell them at a loss.
Well,
but
yeah.
The people who made them made plenty of dough.
Yeah, but, you know, the taxpayers end up having to, you know, pay for that.
Yeah.
And so...
Twice.
It's, effectively, yeah. But, you know, according to some statistics, the world is spending $1.6 trillion annually on defense.
But half of that is by the United States.
Well, they said 42%.
Hmm.
Now, not all of that is going for, let's say, the physical armaments.
Yeah,
you know, a lot of that also goes
people.
For the personnel costs.
Yeah.
But when you look at that amount of money, and then you look at the amount of money that's being spent on, you know, education, maternal health.
It's ridiculous. It's asinine.
It's, well, you know, I think governments, in many respects, you know, realize that what they spend in defense, which, for example, in this country is part of the discretionary spending, but it's the much largest segment of discretionary spending, some 50%, whereas the next highest percentage is education, which is only 8%.
Yeah.
That's in the
United
States.
Shows you what's going on with our values.
That basically these are non-productive resources. I mean, you know, once, you know, you're not going to necessarily, after you build a weapon, be able to do anything productive with it.
We have a less than a minute left. It's like we're trying to chase the boogeyman. That's really kind of what it is. We're told to be afraid. We're being taught by the news media, politicians, whoever, be afraid, be afraid, be afraid. And so then this becomes the defensive mechanism. It has to be extraordinarily frustrating in a way for you to deal with this sort of thing every day, although we're gaining.
Well, you know, I mean, I think it's important to, you know, be optimistic in the sense that, you know,
fixing the problem slowly.
You have to work on it, you know, and it's not just the United Nations. I mean, governments, member states, non-governmental organizations, and civil society at large is actually doing a lot to.